How do I process my own pain in a way that doesn't impede my ability to offer my partner empathy?
Welcome to the Therapy Brothers Podcast.
I'm Brandon.
I'm Tyler.
We're brothers.
We're therapists.
And we know recovery.
Bring your stories, your questions, your successes with real recovery.
Hey, Tyler, you ready to have some hard conversations?
Let's do it.
Let the Therapy Brothers Podcast begin.
Brandon, welcome back, man.
Hey, thanks. It's good to be back.
You come home looking even more like a new man than before.
I am a new man. It's constant renewal.
I was listening to a talk by Jordan Peterson this last week, and it just hurt me because it felt so true. But basically what he said is that we're constantly going through this process of putting ourselves into the fire and burning off old selves so that we can regrow a new self.
I'm just sick
of that.
Hey, just embrace it. Hey, you just turned how old? What are you, 46?
40. That's what's funny. I woke up on my birthday and my wife rolled over. She's like, hey, like, how old are you now? And I'm like, oh, I'm 45 today. And then I started doing the math. I'm like, I just lost a year of my life. I'm 46.
You're 46, man. Jeez, you're old.
You're only two fake hips
and you're 46. Like, how do we get here?
I don't know, man.
Oh my gosh.
Life moves on.
Please, please.
Time marches on, man.
You got like all these fake teeth and fake hips.
I know. My daughter said yesterday, she's like, Dad, by the time you're 80, you're gonna be so bionic that you're gonna be nothing but metal.
Like, yeah, you can still climb mountains though.
Yeah,
like, you're like a goat.
Still have an active lifestyle. Yeah. Yeah.
You're the 46-year-old goat, man.
Well, yeah. It is good. It is good to have you back, Brandon. I think our guests will be happy to have you back too. So
yeah. Well, speaking of guests, we have a great guest here with us today. So Doug, welcome to the show.
Hey guys, thanks for having me.
If you could just get into it with us a little bit, tell us your story, tell us what's going on, and we'll go from there.
Okay. I've been in recovery since July of last year from sex addiction, and along the way my wife and I have been married 15 years. We have three little kids, 11, 9, and 7, and my addiction has caused a lot of pain in our lives, and we're right now living separated from each other. So I'm in a rental place about 30 minutes from home where my family lives. And I'm finding that in recovery, one thing that's sticking with me that's kind of allowing me to drop shame is like move through my shame is like the choices I made wasn't because I woke up one day thinking I'm just want to be the most evil version of myself. Like there's a lot behind the choices I made and how I got here, and as I'm unpacking that with help, I'm going through my childhood sexual abuse, and I'm right now currently where we're at. I'm just feeling a lot of pain. My recovery has brought me to this point of processing lots of childhood trauma, pain from abuse, pain through my family, being raised in a dysfunctional family. But I'm also experiencing lots of pain in the moment of being separate from my wife and children and seeing the pain that they're in and not being close when I really desire that. So I'm just, as I think through that on my own time, I feel like my pain is in a way hindering me from having pure and total empathy for my wife. And I know that that is something that I want to do better. And I think she is deserving of me doing better. So I'm wondering, how do I process my own pain in a way that is healthy for me, but also is going to be really helpful for her?
Doug, it's a phenomenal, this is a phenomenal question. And it's actually like, it's very difficult to show up with empathy when you've got layers of pain, like you just talked about. And I think there's another layer that you didn't add there, that there's the base layer of shame, and then there's the childhood trauma, and then there's the separation pain that you're going through. And all of that is all jumbled up in like this big kind of soup that's totally in the way of what you really want, which is to show up in strength and honesty and empathy with your wife, right?
Yeah.
It's classic. This is classic, and it's really difficult. So I'm glad you're here to talk about it today.
It was interesting. So I got home yesterday from Peru, and we did a lot of hard work with the clients that were there, like deep trauma work and stepping into pain. And some of the people that came had some significant abuse happen when they were children, and it definitely is affecting and has affected their current relationships and attachment and ability to create intimacy in their life. And as we did this deep trauma work, that pain really embeds itself, even physically, like in many different ways. It locks in and it says, don't touch this, don't go there, don't process this out. It's too scary, it's too difficult, it's too hard. And that pain wants to stay, and it wants to stay, and it wants to stay. And I do believe, Doug, that healing is absolutely real. Healing is absolutely possible, and that you can heal. But it's good to recognize what you said. You're very aware of what's going on. That's good. I want to ask you, what are you doing to do your own individual work on this abuse, trauma, and pain?
I went through a week-long intensive program nearby my house. It was like 70 hours of therapy in a week or something, because they told me to, like, my wife and I sought counseling, and they suggested that I go there. They could tell that there was something deeper going on with me than I could even see. So I did that. And that was focused on, yeah, me and my childhood and the lies I've believed for a long time. And I don't know if you guys have read Abba's Child. There's like talks about the imposter side of me, and like learning all those different parts of me that I think, so I'm still processing that today is with my therapist. So I meet a CSAT weekly. Sorry, to answer your question directly. He's been helping me through my childhood sexual abuse with EMDR and just like experiential therapies, walking through the pain of that in my childhood. And I'm in group therapy, Celebrate Recovery. I just finished my 12-step last week. So I'm reading books and trying, like, I do desire to get healthy. Like, I mean, I think that to answer your question indirectly is what I'm trying to learn right now is, I don't remember a time in my life from before my sexual abuse. So I'm really trying to figure out, well, who actually am I then? Yeah. Like, what parts of me today are showing up that are genuinely, authentically me? And which parts of me show up because they showed up to protect me when I was young?
Yeah. So you've done EMDR, a lot of experiential with your therapist.
Yeah.
Have you done any parts work?
Yeah, not a lot, but that was part of my intensive week that I did,
okay,
that week-long training.
Okay. And having done all of this work, is it working? How are you feeling? Are you making progress?
Yeah. I believe so. Like writing to you and scheduling an appointment and showing up here, I think you don't know me at all, but that's, to me, that's progress.
Yeah.
You're stepping in with courage on a lot of fronts. It sounds like you're, you know, I don't know that Brandon and I would suggest much different than what you're currently doing in terms of your own personal work. You're committed to your personal individual work. You're specifically targeting some of the trauma from the past with the right kinds of therapies. It sounds like part of what you're struggling with is just the actual pain that comes up when you're doing this work, plus the pain of, you know, a strained attachment with the people that mean the most to you. And it's like, how do I cope? How do I deal with this pain while I'm doing this work? There's probably some other things that could be done to facilitate your own, you know, trauma work, but maybe there's some other things that we could also look at just helping to navigate the pain that is there right now, that inevitably is going to be there. Like, you're not, even if you do all the right work, you're going to bring more pain into your life as a result of doing the right work.
Totally. Yeah.
What's the status on the relationship right now? So you're separated. Do both of you have the intention of reconciliation and working toward a healthy relationship?
I feel like that's really hard to answer, unfortunately. I do, and I would say if my wife didn't, I don't think she'd be here. But there, I think that I've hurt her so much that there's still too much fear of whether or not I'm genuine and whether or not I do want to change. For I think it would be too painful for her to verbalize to me that that's something she really wants. I haven't heard that affirmation yet, but I want to believe that that is where we are headed.
So you get the sense that that's what she would hope for, but she's guarded and protected and careful because she's been hurt.
I believe so.
Okay. But she's still, she's not signing divorce papers. She's not.
No.
Okay. So just to go
along with that, I just want to know what your communication looks like on a week to week basis right now.
So we meet with couples coaching for betrayal trauma and sexual addiction. We meet once a week with that. That's the extent of our togetherness of therapy. And then, you know, we have three kids. So I guess that's a good way to put progress. Like, I know that I wasn't safe to her. Like, she needed to set boundaries and ask me to leave the house because I wasn't safe for her or the kids. And now, like in the beginning, when I first moved out and started recovery, I wasn't able to see the children because I wasn't safe. And at this point in recovery, I see them basically every day, unless I'm going home, I'm around her, we talk, we engage. So I think there's progress there, definitely, that I can see. And I think that as time goes on, as I recover more, and I feel like as I get more confident in who I am, I think that that's been opening up safety for her to share a little bit more of her pain with me and allow me to carry some of it. But that's more recently. That's only happened in the last month or so.
Yeah. Part of me wants to say to you, Doug, and this might not be what you want to hear, but you're talking since last July. you have made massive amounts of progress and are absolutely on the right track. And where your wife's at is right where she needs to be too. And part of this is just the reality of the process of recovery, of figuring out who you really are, and then rebuilding trust with her. And so your question of like, God, how do I do this work on my own while I create the empathy and the safety for her? Sounds like in many ways you're doing it. Do you understand? Do you understand?
I get what you're saying. Yes.
And what?
And I think that like as I learn to be authentically myself, I feel that I have characteristics that I was like courage and drive and desire that were just that are coming out, and this yearning in my heart to be like, I want to do absolutely everything that I can to provide her with what she needs to heal. Like, I think that's been the hardest part is like, I want a guarantee and affirmation of an outcome that I desire. And I don't currently have that. And like a verbal affirmation from her saying, yes, we're going to work this out. We're going to get through it. And that's okay. Like, I've come to realize that I've inflicted so much pain that is what makes sense. So, but I do desire to help her in the best way possible. And I know that empathy for her is the thing that's going to help her. And I guess when I look at, well, what's impeding me from that? It's my own pain, I think. So, well, I don't want to just forget my pain because that's what started this in the first place. And I want to work through it in a healthy way. But at the same time, it's really hard to feel that pain because I know that when I'm in that, it's hard for me to take a part of her pain and think through it like with full empathy, if that makes sense. Like, I guess talking it out with you, I think that the thing that's going to help me the most is instead of trying to separate my pain from her pain is actually working through my pain in a healthy way that gives me leverage to move to empathy.
I think you're spot on, Doug. I actually think that I agree with Brandon in talking to you. This is the hard part. You ever played Super Mario Brothers, like the old one?
Of course.
Yeah. It's like, I sometimes look at recovery this way where, you know, those you go down the tube and then it moves you all the way down. You end up in some other world or something.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think recovery is that way where you've been putting so much input like sludge into your life without knowing it for years and years and years and years. And then finally something peels the layers back and you're like, oh my gosh, I got to do something different. Mm-hmm. And you start putting in new inputs that are good inputs, but the tube is still full of all the crap. And so what you're doing is you're putting in new inputs, but you haven't gotten any of the outcomes yet. And so it's really hard because it can get discouraging when you don't get that little sliver of hope or that little ray of light or that little thing that's like, hey, I see you and I know this is going to get better. And so you're like over here going, I'm putting in all the right stuff, but all that's coming out the other end of the tube still is the sludge. And you know, it's like, oh, this is so hard. Like,
yeah.
And the hard part in a situation like this is that you're still new in learning how to separate accountability from shame. So you have your own internal shame story. You have the disappointment that you see in your wife's eyes. The minute that you see her pain, it's like a fork in the road where you can either go down into your old shame again and get lost and disappear and not be there for her. Or you feel like, I got to show up for her and I got to do everything right and like be perfect. But then it's like, but I still have this pain.
Yeah.
Like, it's still there and it's legitimate. And And part of the work that you have on the day to day is every time you get a chance to visit with your wife, you have a chance to figure out how to fuse those two things and to say, it's honest for you to say, man, this is really hard for me to hear, and I want to be here for you. So now it's like, I'm going to hang in here with you as long as I can. I'm going to practice that empathy. I'm going to be here, and I'm going to show up in strength, and I'm going to do the things that you just said. You said two things today that I think very important. I want to come back to. One is, I realize now that I didn't wake up feeling evil. I didn't wake up desiring to be evil. Then you also said, this is, and I think you're onto something here, the more confident I become in myself, the safer she feels to share her feelings with me. So in a certain sense, you're already answering part of your own question in all of this, I think.
Yeah.
Is that the individual work of self-confidence, of self-love, of self-compassion, of acceptance is actually going to yield results towards the relationship if you'll stay the course and keep putting the right inputs in.
Great. Thank you. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
It doesn't change that you're still in a ton of pain.
It does not. Right.
Say more about, you say you're struggling to empathize.
Yeah.
Like, how does that look? What do you mean you're struggling to empathize with her?
I think it shows up in a few ways. I know it, when we've talked, part of me, being a guy, like, I just want to fix it. And, so that's part of it. That's not commonly how I show up, but I have, approached her with that mindset, and that's not good. Like, I know that she's not looking for me to fix anything, just sit and carry it with her. So, I recognize that. And another way would be like, I'll just, like, an example would be like yesterday I went to work, and then my wife and kids are at home, and it's like the weekend. So that's like, typically weekends are family time. So I felt pain. I just woke up feeling like this pain there. Like, I'm working, I'm not at home with my family, and I wonder what they're doing today. And I wonder how they are, like, all four of them. Like, did they sleep well? Did my daughter have a nightmare? Did my son hurt himself in the yard? Like, I'm not there for those things. So I feel pain for that. And then I work all day, and then I have an afternoon to myself where I'm not going to be home. Like, that's, to me, that's just really, as I talk about it, like, hitting a lot of pain, like, to go an entire day and evening and night without a hug from my kids, and letting them know that I'm here, and I'm here for you, you know, like, and I'm sorry for what I've done, like, for them to not see that on my face or hear it in my voice feels sad. So here we go. So if my wife were to come to me with some kind of pain right now in the sadness that I feel, I would be like, yeah, I feel a lot of pain too. You know, like, I'm even talking to you right now, processing that pain of not seeing them yesterday is painful. But I think that's why talking it out is helpful. Like, hearing, you know, talking about it with you guys, thinking like, well, I can use that pain to leverage empathy. I can think through, well, yeah, this sucks for me. This is painful.
Mm-hmm.
And also, that really sucks for you, because mm-hmm. I'm not there for you. Your husband isn't there. Your kids aren't there. The kid's father isn't there. And yeah. That really sucks for you as well. And I'm sorry for that.
So, Doug, when you say I can use that pain to leverage into empathy, you're spot on, but it sounds like you might be struggling to do that. Like I can feel your pain now. And even as you just talked about, you kind of transitioned, I felt you empathizing with her, even as you were talking through that, both I felt your pain and you're empathizing with her. So are you able to do that in those moments, or does something break down?
I think that I am able to show up with empathy often, okay. I would say. But that's why I need help with this, like this pain that I'm in, like what I just described to you, that is a new way for me to talk about pain. So that is not something I've done before.
Gotcha.
Because before, I think when I would feel intense pain like that, it would be this big block to my empathy, because all I could see was my pain. And, you know, to hear her say, "This is really hard without you here," I think a response typically from me would be like, "Yeah, it's really hard not being here." Like in my mind, it makes sense that, well, if you're hurting because of this and I'm hurting because of this, why don't we just do this and then we both stop hurting? And that A plus B doesn't equal C in betrayal trauma. So in my mind, though, that impedes me from empathy, because it's like, well, if we just did this, wouldn't that make more sense? Like, you'd get the healing you're asking for and I'd get the healing I need. And I think that's why, instead of just letting go of that, letting go of me trying to fix it and thinking that anything actually is logical, I think is probably going to help me. Like, don't think about it logically. Like, think about it in the sense that I have pain, I hurt because of it, I can hurt for you because you probably feel the same way.
I think it's important that this principle gets spoken out loud with what you're coming up against right here, Doug, because too many people get stuck in the either or game, which is, if I say I'm hurting too, then that means I'm diminishing the other person's feelings. Now, I need to be careful, because I need to make sure I'm acknowledging the truth, but I'm looking for the both and of it, which is, yeah, this is really hard. You know, I struggle too, and I can see that this is a big struggle for you, and I'm so glad you're telling me that. You know, it's the both and, because otherwise you go, well, it's terrible for me too, and boom, and then you go make it all about you, and then you get lost, and then you go into your depression, and then you pull away, and then you can't be there for her. Or you go the other way, which is, well, I don't have any feelings. Okay, I'm here, but that's actually not true either, and that's not real, and that's not human either. And so having a little bit of grace for the both and of multiple feelings can exist at the same time. She can be devastated that you're not there at the same time that it's right for her to not have you there. You know, you can be devastated that you are not there, and you can understand why she's still wanting space, even though you feel like part of the answer might be that you could be there more.
Yeah.
And you could even offer that to her and say, this isn't the only solution, but I'll be as close as you need me to be. I can be more available if need be. Right. There's multiples that exist at the same time, and we always think it's one or the other or either or.
With what Tyler's saying, going right along with it, I think we have a hard time with the multiple kind of seeing the bigger picture. When there's resistance to the process, and I'm hearing that with you, Doug, of because from my vantage point here, and I know this is easy for me to say, I'm thinking how miraculous this is, and how beautiful this is, that you were wounded, no fault of your own, totally unfair. Your relationship flushes out all of these wounds and all of this pain. It exposes it shows it, your addiction, all those things. And for you to be given an opportunity to not only heal your deepest wounds and step into your deepest pain, And at the same time, learn what real love is, learn what real empathy is. Like you and your wife you got married 15 years ago, but you didn't really know what love is. And as you go through this process, you get to learn that. And as you learn that together, I believe you'll have a relationship that is very unique in a good way, and awesome and amazing. And you're gonna have depths of intimacy and love and connection that other people don't get to experience. So through the wounds, the light enters, and there's this fixed mindset that comes into place of like, yeah, but I just want to be hugging my kids at home, and like that's the way it should be.
Yeah.
But if we go to growth mindset with this, and it's like, wow, I get to learn, I get to grow, I get to go through this process, I get to feel all the feels, I get to feel the pain, I accept this process. And I think one of the hardest parts is it requires sitting in vulnerability and faith.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know the outcome. You don't know if your wife's gonna stay with you no matter what and do her work and start to trust you again. You don't know that.
Yeah.
And it has to be that way. You have to move forward with this work regardless of not knowing the fixed outcome of it. Mm-hmm. And that's where your heart actually shifts and heals, because you get to do it in that space of unknowing.
Yeah.
Does that ring true, Doug?
Totally. Yeah. That is something I actually, I think that is something that I've heard before, and actually in my day yesterday that I just described that was so painful, I had hours to spend journaling with God and just thinking, like, that is the thought that I had. Like, I get to grow, and I get to learn things today that I wouldn't have learned if I was at home, and processing things that I've chosen to not face for like 30 years. So I feel that a lot. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Could I just empathize with you on this for a second, Doug, and see if you feel the same way?
Yeah.
You know, you've struggled with addiction, so you know what it's like to be triggered towards acting out and to have to white knuckle through like a really, really hard trigger, maybe for days at a time.
Have totally. You
had that experience before?
Yes, sir.
That pain is immense. It's exquisite, even though we've done it to ourselves. In my opinion, there's another kind of pain that you're describing that's worse than that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the pain of what Brandon's talking about. It's a feeling of being disconnected while still hoping for the relationship and not having the touch point that says it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
That leaves a human being hanging off of the edge of a cliff in white knuckle mode, going like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? Like, am I going to get rejected? Is this going to turn out okay? Like, and we're looking for certainty, and in searching for certainty, that's where we actually get in the way.
That's where
we actually shoot ourselves in the foot towards the outcomes that we want, because we scramble. We're like in panic, just like an addict does when they're moving towards like a relapse. It's like, well, I'm going to hurry and show up and do all of this or this or this, or I'm going to disappear and pretend nothing's wrong. It's like, no. I need to figure out how to act in faith and move forward being the best person I can be today.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that whatever way it turns out, I'm going to be okay. And have faith in that and trust that and say, so every day when I wake up and I turn my attention back to what do I need to do to make sure there's some certainty in my relationship, I have to rewire my focus back to what am I going to do to become a better man, grow in confidence, strengthen myself, show up for myself, because that will move me down the road towards a better chance of the outcomes I want anyway. And at the end of the day, if it's not the outcome I want, I'm still a better person at the end of the day.
Yeah.
But it's painful. Oh my gosh. I can feel my own heart opening up right now. Just like that old feeling like, oh no, like, what, is she ever going to say she loves me again? Is she ever going to want to stay with me? Like, it's like, no, take a breath. It's like the Eagles song, learn to be still. Like, learn to be still inside of that and trust that your body and your brain, it can handle this. You're going to be okay. There's a different way to look at it.
But strip it, like, strip it all away. So, like, it's important that sex and women and your relationship are not the idol that's being worshipped. What Tyler's talking about is step three. Tyler, you've experienced this when in the moment when you thought that you were going to be left and abandoned, and because you deserved it because you did all these things to your wife, that's when God showed up. That's when you turn your will and your life over to the care of God. And that's when you realize God has me now. Like, God has me. So as I move forward as a man, as I move forward, that I know who I am now because I've turned my will and life over to the care of God. So when you do that, that faith feeling, that vulnerable feeling, you find some peace, you find some comfort in it of, you know, whatever happens here, whatever the outcome is here, I can rest in that.
Yeah.
The challenge to that, though, Brannon, is that it's this, at least for me, it's this fight that I have in myself to continually turn back to God. Because when I turn to anywhere else, that fear, that pain, that anxiety, everything else kicks up. But when I can reground myself back to this humble place of saying, I'm going to take a step forward knowing that you have my back, then there's peace inside the storm, but it still doesn't take away the discomfort of some of the pain.
The pain is still there.
Yeah.
Man, you guys just said a lot of helpful things.
Maybe I could just say one more thing about this, that something that's been helpful for me inside of that, besides the continual regrounding back to the bigger picture, is it's, and I hope you have this, and if you don't, you've got to get it. It's so important to have a good support team outside of you and your marriage.
Yeah.
So that you lean yourself into being the best man you can be as close as she will allow you for the time being, day in and day out. But then when you're in that breaking spot, to be able to have a landing spot where there's a couple other guys who are like, hey, I've been there before, or you're going to be okay, or dump it on me, even though it's not the same as your wife, you know, like,
yeah,
get used to practicing that, get used to having some support, letting people see you like in your brokenness, like all of that stuff becomes really important because it's its own sort of chimney to let some of the smoke go when it feels like there's nowhere else for it to go.
Totally makes sense. Yeah.
No, it's interesting the way we started this episode of, you know, laughing about the constant renewal and refinement.
Oh.
And tell you, like, oh, but yet it's also beautiful. Like, and so Doug, yesterday when you're feeling that pain, you know, I was empathizing with you feeling, God, what would that be like? Like I just left my kids for a week and I just saw them yesterday, and it's just like, it's the best. I missed them so much for a week. And there's nothing like the way you feel when it comes to love toward your children and being there for them and connected to them. And, so on one hand, you feeling that void and feeling that pain of disconnection with them, is such a beautiful, good thing. And on the other hand, you can also embrace this process and be grateful for it.
Yeah.
Be grateful that you have the space you have. Doug, I got to say, of all of our guests throughout the years, from July until now, you have done one of the best jobs at setting up the right kind of help and going through that process in the right way. I don't know if I'd tell you much different. You being separated is a good thing for you right now. Focusing on your own work and your own trauma, doing EMDR, experiential work, 12-step, you have a group. Like, you, it's amazing. This is awesome. God has your back. Like, holy cow. You have resources, you have an ability to do all this stuff. You're being watched after through this painful process.
Thank you.
I'm not sure you feel that way, Doug, but I agree with Brannon.
Yeah.
All I'd add in for you is a little plant medicine, and then we'd get you all the way there.
You know, it's I don't know if this is fitting, but I, during my addiction and acting out, like, I was super depressed, and I couldn't verbalize to anyone what was causing that because it was so shameful. And one thing I got hooked up with was I had tried antidepressants and things like that that didn't seem to help, but I was suicidal, and thank God that I didn't go through with that. But I was, afterwards I was set up with IV ketamine infusion therapy, like a 3-month treatment schedule. And nice. And I feel like my brain got a jump start to wake up and be like, wow, this is not who you are.
Right.
I don't know if you guys have ever seen Moana, but it's like, I have kids, so I watch it all the time, but it's like, they sing that song, "This is not who you are, you know who you are." And that just fits with me. Like, I don't actually know who I am, but I know that's not who I am. I know that's not who I want to be. And I do feel that God has me and all these things, like you said, like, I think I can feel him working every day through my therapy and through your guys' podcast. I freaking love it. So thank you. And thanks for taking my call. It's been really helpful. So really happy to be here today.
Doug, find gratitude in the process.
Yeah.
Just embrace this process. It will be, I'd love to talk to you in 6 months or a year and just see where things are at and see, but like, stay steady with the work that you're doing. Continue moving forward with it. And you're working toward empathy with your wife. You're getting there, and you're not going to be perfect at it. You're working through the pain and the trauma, and you're healing from that pain and that trauma.
Yeah,
and that's blessing your life as you're doing that. So.
Yeah.
I also think on a bigger scale, like if you look at it just from the outside perspective of what we got today, you're in it every day and there's still pain and there's still separation, but things are trending for you in the right direction.
Mm.
Like you went from being completely separated, not at home, to now being daily with the kids, to now having daily interaction with your wife, to noticing that she opens up to you a little bit more, especially when you're more confident in who you are. Things are trending in a hopeful direction. Not that outcome is guaranteed, and it may not be, and maybe she gets to a spot where you keep trending up and then she's like, I'm out, and you're like, okay, that sucks, but so there's no guarantees, but things are trending in the right direction. Your personal life is definitely trending in the right direction. I like what you said. I don't know who I am all the way yet, but I know who I'm not. And you are not the evil person that destroys people's lives that you've painted yourself out to be. And you are not the imposter. And the more that you integrate those parts of yourself through the work that you're doing, the more you will grow in confidence, and the more you'll begin to create a vision, a future of the life you want to live. And you'll also start to uncover, I believe this is true for you, Doug, you probably already have, but you'll start to uncover specific names that God has for you. That you're not only not this, you are patient, you are kind, you are brave. You used a couple words, courage. You noticed you've got courage, you've got drive, you've got desire that you never thought you had. You're going to uncover those things, and there will be new names inside of that for you as you continue on your journey.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Doug, I can't wait to meet you at the Rising Sun Conference in September.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, it would be awesome to see you in person. You're the kind of guy. You're the kind of guy who any therapist who's listening right now is going, I want him for a client.
That's encouraging. Thank you.
Yeah. To Doug, thank you for coming on today. To our listeners, thank you for being here with us. We appreciate the fact that we have a real person who's willing to share their real story, and that it's probably hitting the same nerves for a whole bunch of other people. And it's just a blessing and a gift, speaking of gratitude, for Brandon and I to be a part of the whole thing. So thank you.
Thank you, Tyler.
All right, Tyler, until next time,
keep on keeping on.